Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is with Joe McAdam. Joe McAdam is part of the sketch comedy group Butt. B-U-T-T, Butt. Joe had a show last night. We talked a little bit about that. We also talked about the NFL because he's a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and which we've already established is not a good team to root for. Before we begin, plugs. This Friday, December 7th, is the 10-year You, Me, Them, Everybody Live anniversary show at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C. The week after, on December 12th, on Wednesday, December 12th, we'll be recording our holiday album, Holiday-ish 5, at the Kennedy Center. And then our 10-year anniversary Chicago show is on December 27th. So, this Friday in Washington, D.C., our 10-year anniversary show. Yep, that's it. Please come to that. It's at the Wonderland Ballroom. Yeah, Joe's in a sketch comedy group called Butt. Link to that in the podcast description. Here is Joe McAdam and I talking about Butt. Yeah, Pearl Jam is probably the broiest thing I enjoy. What about you?
That's a good question. I mean, like band-wise?
No, life-wise. Like, is it the NFL life-wise, is probably, I mean, like your broiest thing?
Yeah, that's probably my broiest thing. Like I pretty much lost my voice screaming at the Chiefs game, you know.
Oh, did you really? That's all in.
That's pretty broy. Like 2 days ago, or sorry, 2 days after that game, I was like, I totally had nothing. I had no voice at all. So yeah, that's definitely, I like football, and that's about as like high school bro. It's not, yeah. I mean, you know, bros of all ages, whatever.
Did you like football in high school?
Yeah. I liked it probably more then. I was still like, yeah, I don't know. It was, I liked high school football. I was just like, I needed something to do, I guess.
You liked your high school football team?
Well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you other than, like, yeah, that was pretty lame. You know, being a freshman and being like, I need some shit to do. But like, all right, that's our school was like a high school football team kind of place. And the first year of high school, I was like, I went to games and stuff on Friday night. It was really lame.
When did you stop going?
Probably sophomore year, but I probably went to some sophomore year.
But by senior year, once the team was made up of your peers, you were not going.
Yeah, that was over. And also, like, you guys are terrible. You know, you just start, you know, it took a minute to be like, oh, shit, I hate this.
I get that.
But out of the gate, I was out there, you know.
I shouldn't be making fun because, like, yeah, I'm not going to football games, but I'm, like, listening to Pearl Jam by choice all of the time in high school.
That's not that different, yeah.
It's the same. We're all assholes. In college, did you follow at all?
I kind of stopped following once I... when I moved out of my parents' house, I haven't had cable since then. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped watching, like, TV about sports. I stopped watching SportsCenter. I stopped... seeing games if they weren't, you know, televised locally, so I just stopped watching.
I don't think I... Yeah, the last time we spoke was before Thanksgiving, and on Thanksgiving, I think I watched a game for the first time all year with my father-in-law, and I like him, and he doesn't need to be reminded about CTE. Like, he gets it, but at the same time,
sure.
Every single play, I wouldn't be like, you know what just happened there.
Yeah, a man lost a part of his brain.
Hey, isn't it cool that we're winning?
Yep.
That guy's losing in life. You know what I mean? Like, how does that help?
I don't know. I that's the thing is that it is hard to look at that sport, and especially because there's a million reasons. Like, you know, for example, I'm a Chiefs fan. The Chiefs just let go of Kareem Hunt because he kicked a woman, and there was a video of him kicking a woman that was went on around, you know, made the rounds. And it's just like, oh, he did that. And then doesn't have to play football anymore. Like, that's a better place to be in. He's a running back. He was going to get his head smashed in, you know?
Yeah, that's messed up.
So, you know, you are doing better by playing for, you know, a little bit. I think, like, what, just getting out of your rookie contract and getting a big payday and then getting fired for kicking a woman.
That's
the best career path in football.
This is maybe something only a poor person would think or someone that's never had money would think, but what are you going to do with all that? Like, I'm listening to the Aaron Hernandez show that the Boston Globe is putting out, and it's really great, and it's really depressing because you clearly know how it ends. But even if it doesn't end with him hanging himself in jail and closeted and all that stuff, how do you think it would end? Like, it still doesn't have like a positive. I mean, there's literally one player I could think of in the history of the NFL. We're looking back. I'm like, oh, that guy's life is pretty great. And it's Gary Fensick. Gary Fensick played for the Chicago Bears. He actually went to an Ivy League school, and he doesn't seem to have any of the effects of CTE. He was on the 85 Bears, and he leads a normal life, can maintain eye contact and have a normal conversation, but literally every other player in that beloved team is destroyed. Not like figuratively, but actually destroyed.
Yeah, no, they like have holes in their body.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all, it's terrible. And their brains are just like, yeah, crumbling to pieces. It's not good. It's hard to think about who makes it. And it's weird that sport, like, it produces like broadcasters and stuff too. It feels like that should not be the case. There shouldn't be anybody that comes out of football and can like string a couple sentences together to be on TV.
Well, the Fensick thing I think is interesting, you know, because Fensick is one of the only players that we hear about. Not that you hear about him a lot, but you hear about somewhat that was on defense or that didn't play quarterback. And like Troy Aikman is an announcer, like I get it, he was somewhat protected. But even if you've watched or like done any sort of research, you know he was knocked out in the NFC Championship game. It doesn't remember winning.
Yeah, that's fucking horrible. That's not great.
Have you ever performed and have done well and be like, I don't know what happened up there?
Wow. Okay. Well, they tell me it was okay.
Yeah, I did not think we were going to discuss this today. I thought we were going to discuss Butt, which is your comedy duo.
Hey, we can talk about all that stuff. We can talk Butt. We can talk anything.
Let's talk about Pearl Jam in the NFL. The three things. There's a lot of overlap on that Venn diagram, actually.
We had some. We did a show last night, Butt, which is the sketch group I do with Chris Stevens, and it was. We had total bros in the audience that were like the kind that really want to be in the show, you know.
Yes, they do.
The kind of heckler where you don't really want to be like, hey, man, shut the fuck up. But you want to be, hey, man, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So how'd you deal with your bros?
Okay, so there's this bit that we do where it's so not worth explaining a fucking comedy bit. It's so stupid. But I have to let you know what the situation was. So, like, all right, there's a bit that we do at the beginning of, or near the beginning of the show, where it's like Chris and I are checking the microphones, and we're like, hey, does this sound okay? Check, check, blah, blah, blah. And then we're like, okay, that sounds fine, but can you give me this to make sure that this part sounds okay? And then we'll do like an impression or a goofy character thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the one that I had to do was like, he's like, all right, give me one, the guy that's like, it compares everything to MC Hammer. And so the way that bit goes is I just talk to somebody in the audience. I find out like what they're doing, what they're into, what they had for dinner, whatever, who their friends are. Like tease out a little bit of information from them about something that they really, really liked. And then I get on board. I'm like, hell yeah, that sounds fantastic. And then I go, but it's no MC Hammer. And it's one of the stupidest bits. It takes forever. And anyway, these guys just like totally derailed it to the point where it's like, you talk to somebody in the audience like, oh, hi. Oh, okay. And they're kind of shy. They don't want to get too into it. These guys are like, hey, what's up, dude? Oh, you asked the wrong guy. All right, man, here we go. Like, all right, I fucking can't handle this right now.
But to be fair to those gentlemen.
I just wanted to like.
To be fair to those gentlemen.
Yeah.
Did they make the bit funnier in a way?
No, 100% no. Not even close. The thing is like, it would have been fine because, you know, if you've been doing this long enough, you know how to, like, get a good laugh line in, and then you can dismount. You know, you can, like, get out of the conversation. And so this would be like, okay, I did that probably two or three times, and they would just immediately follow it up with something like, all right, so what are you going to do with that, huh? And I'm like, I just did the thing. What do you want? In my head, I'm going insane. Anyway, then I ran into him after the show at the bar, and I'm just like, ah, God, ruining my night left and right.
So from my perspective, this is great. This sounds like the ideal audience.
I know. I wanted to fucking just shove these guys in a sack and drown them in a river. I couldn't. I was not in any mood. You know, like, I don't know. It was our last show doing this, like, we did a long run at UCB, and it was our last show doing this run, and honestly, I was, like, pretty tired of the show, and Chris is too, and we've just been kind of like, when are we going to stop doing all this material? And so it had that feeling of, like, okay, I'm glad this is the last version of this. Let's just get out of here.
This is maybe the hackiest question I could ask you at this point, but at that point, don't you kind of miss stand-up? Because if you just hated the bit, you just wouldn't do the bit?
Yeah, there's parts of that. I think the trade-off for me, though, is better this way. But I do that aspect of it I do miss. Yeah. No, or also within stand-up, because if that happened near the beginning of the show, and if this was stand-up, I could not have to do any of the bit, and I could just do talking to them. That would be it. Or, you know, not talking to them, but being like laying into them a little bit more, or letting them know, like, outside of the confines of, like, me doing a character or whatever, like, hey, shut the fuck up. And really letting them know that they were disrupting the show.
Yeah, you couldn't, like, change the entire show to just cater to that one fuck you aside.
Yeah, no, exactly. So there's elements that I do miss about stand-up. Like, okay, so this is probably the biggest example of this situation, and it really, really got to me. And it made me, like, change what I wanted to do. But, like, okay, so years ago in Chicago at the Town Hall Pub, mm-hmm. Great bar, and there's a show entertaining Julia there. And it was fantastic. The Putterbaugh sisters ran it, and they're the best. And so on the show, I had a bit where it's like a total dumbass sketch bit what I was doing with somebody. Like fucking costumes, props. I think there was a smoke machine involved. It was like really, the point was to be like obnoxiously overdone. And right before we got on stage, some guy smashed like pint glasses and punched out all the windows of the bar because he didn't like a bit that a stand-up comic had done where he made fun of Bridgeport. And he goes, I'm from fucking Bridgeport. And then he spikes his pint glass into the ground and storms out the back door and punches out every single window on his way out. And then, cue whatever the fuck we have to do like 2 minutes
really
later.
Quick, really quick, there's a few things we need to say before you finish. Okay, so Town Hall Pub is I think, on the 3700 block of Halsted. I know it's on Halsted. I know it's north of North, and I know it's south of Roscoe. So it's roughly 70 blocks directly north of U.S. Cellular Field, now Guaranteed Rate Field, formerly U.S. Cellular Field, formerly Comiskey Park. Very south side. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally the south side, but that's where the Dailies lived. So if you're not from Chicago, think of it as like one of the few remaining white working class neighborhoods in Chicago, full of a lot of pride and full of a lot of stereotypes of homophobia. Now, Joe was performing at Town Hall Pub, literally in the heart of Boys Town. So, if this was any other city in America, that would be considered a hate crime.
I know, it really, it was borderline. I mean, nothing explicitly was a hate crime about it, but it was like, this really has a feel to it, doesn't it?
That's why I was maybe laughing a little bit too hard, because it's not just any it's not just any place that he punched out the windows. It was a place literally 70 blocks away from where he lived. But those 8 miles really made this man mad.
He was furious, and yeah, the joke, it was, I believe it was Mike Bridenstine was doing a joke about like how stupid White Sox fans are, like, in post-game interviews. And it really got to this guy, and he flipped out and destroyed property, and then we had to do a wig-wearing music cue sketch after that. And it was, I don't think I've ever bombed harder. It's impossible to do that. And that made me not want to do sketch comedy ever again. It was awful.
But, okay, every time I went to Entertaining Julia in Chicago, the room was full. Was it full that night?
Yeah, it was very full.
I would wait. I would prefer bombing in front of a full room of like 50 or 60 or 70 people than killing in a room of seven.
I don't think so for me.
Okay.
Why would you want to bomb in front of that many people?
Why would I want to bomb in front of that many people?
Yeah.
Because it's fun? Because at a certain point... Because have you... Okay,
I think
so
you and I are different about
we're
this.
We're very different. I haven't done a show in front of a lot of people in a long time, but I've done a lot of like introductions of people and it shows for like 1,200 people recently. And when literally no one is there to see you and no one even knows who you are, maybe five people know who you are and they want anybody but you, it's sometimes really fun to stretch it out as long as possible to just get them to hate you.
Oh man. Remember when we got like yelled off the stage, when we were hosting that Ron Swanson lookalike contest, and that woman yelled us off the stage.
They liked you.
No, they hated me. I was like pulled off stage by one of the producers. I was like, I was so drunk. And then one of the producers was like, just get off, get out of here right now.
At one point I just said, I'm taking all of the prizes and I'm leaving. And I think I did.
I don't even remember what the prizes were, but I feel like it was a bunch of, like a big cheese tray. It was a fucking mess. I just remember some woman like just yelling at us while we were up there.
Well, it was
remember.
Like a...
Because she was like, yeah.
She was drunk. She was very drunk.
Yes. Yes, she was. But so were we. It was...
Well, I think we ended up giving her one of the prizes, and she was still mad at us.
Yeah, she was rotten. Ugh.
So this brings me back to butt. Before we get to butt really quick, I want to bring up an aside. You mentioned Hammer.
Yeah, MC.
I think you would love this book. This was given to me a month or two ago, and I read it in like a week. Big Hair and Plastic Grass, A Funky Ride Through Baseball in America in the Swinging 70s by Dan Epstein. It is a great, great, great book. It makes you want to watch baseball. It makes you love sports and love the 70s, and you're going to want to listen to a lot of music from the 70s. And I'm sure you know this, and I think a lot of people do. Hammer used to be a bat boy for the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah.
So Hammer is part of this book. And I didn't know this until I read this book. Hammer was essentially the mole for the owner, the very cheap owner of the Oakland Athletics. So for a long time, the guys were like, Hammer, the little kid's great. And then they're like, fuck this kid. He's telling all of our secrets to the boss.
He's a fucking rat.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you'd enjoy that book, Big Hair and Plastic Grass, A Funky Ride Through Baseball in America in the Swinging 70s. Back to butt. You have an experience like that. You're doing a show you're already sick of doing. When is the last time you just wanted to quit everything? Just quit. Be like, fuck this. I'm going to go back to Kansas City. I'll just work in a store. I don't care what store it is. I'm just done.
Oh, man. Yeah, yesterday. I don't know. Cool. That comes up. But that feeling will surface.
When is the last time you like actually like did some research on like moving somewhere else?
So maybe it was about a year ago, but my aunt had died, and then I had the opportunity to potentially buy her home. She lives in Kansas City, and I would have been able to like get it super cheap. And my parents were like, "That will help you out if you want to move back," because they want me to move back to Kansas City. And I was really like looking into it. I was looking at, you know, where I could work, the neighborhood and how much things would cost and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I can't do that. I just can't. Then absolutely. It would feel like I'm just truly giving up what I want to do. And I'm not able to do it.
Well, there's a lot of...
About a year ago, I really looked into it.
There's a lot of questions that come with this. We've talked about... We've said your wife's name on the show before. I never say my wife's name, but let's just... Your wife, Joe's wife, what did she think of the potential move?
It was like, let's talk about it. It was okay. A open-minded, let's talk about it.
Clearly, if you don't
want... I don't think she was excited about it, but...
Sure. Clearly, if you don't want to answer this question, you don't have to, but that's everything ever. Do you want to have a child?
It's not on my agenda.
Okay.
I would say that it's one of those things where I don't feel like I'm in a position work-wise that I could even handle doing that.
Sure.
So unless something changed, then I would be open to it, but it's not even like a goal going forward, really.
If you had a child or a child was on the way or you were seriously thinking about a child, would the move back to Kansas City been more feasible? Or not feasible, I don't know, desirable maybe?
I think it would be, the chances for me to have a child would be if I get a job in show business that is financially stable enough that I could feel like I could raise a kid, and then I would just definitely stay. Or if I'd already made the decision to move out of LA, then I would consider it. But it wouldn't be like, I had one on accident, now I got to move. Like,
sure.
That would just be, I don't think, in the cards at all.
Is it, maybe it's a funny question, maybe it's a serious question. Is it possible to have a kid in your 30s on accident?
I don't think so. I mean, not for us. It wouldn't be. It would,
yeah,
you've
been married since, like, what, 2011, 2012?
I've been married and then also just with my wife since I was, like, 17 years old. So if we fucked up now and accidentally had a kid, that would be insane.
That would be amazing.
It'd be like, what the hell was I thinking? Like, how do you goof like that? Like, ah, Christ. You know, for 17 years we've had this plan, but I really biffed it this time. Oh, well. All right, kid time. Like, that would be ludicrous.
I think it'd be great and funny. What do you want? This is a serious question.
What do I want?
And this is a serious question I've asked myself on a daily, if not hourly, basis. What do you want? Why are you doing what you're doing? This shit matters. So what do you want to happen with butt? It's so weird to say a serious sense, but end it with that word.
No, that's the idea. That's, I think, what the ultimate goal is. I mean, we've been trying a lot of routes through the industry, but I think the ultimate goal is, like, okay, if we can write our own TV show and have that sold, made, or we can still be attached to it after that's the case, we would love that. It is like a cartoon or a sitcom, or the long shot feels like a sketch comedy TV show, because I don't think anybody really does that anymore. It's kind of like SNL, or there's not really much else out there. So, and I'm not, you know, trying to move to New York. So,
cool.
So I think, yeah, just whatever we can figure out as far as like a TV show, but I don't know. That's, or like, I mean, the lesser like path is like, oh, can we get staffs on a show, or just work on a TV show or whatever, and then kind of work your way up from there. And then also in the back of my head, I'm like, fucking, I'll just write a scary movie. I'll just write a horror movie and try to make that. That seems like, at this point, weirdly an easier path.
You think it's an easier path for a man that's never written a scary movie to write a scary movie and sell it than to have your own show?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. You're
probably
right.
So.
That checks out well.
I think also just like the horror community is very like supportive.
Yeah.
cheap movies get made all the time. They make way more horror movies than comedy movies every year. Like, it's crazy. There's a million more.
Yeah. There's a reason for that.
Yeah. Nobody wants a comedy movie. Think of what's the last comedy movie you saw that was good.
Let me look at my list.
There's nothing, I don't know. I feel like there's not a lot that has come out in
you know what I saw for the first time in 2018?
Years. What?
Bachelor Party, starring Tom Hanks.
Oh, hey, awesome. Soundtrack by Oingo Boingo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a killer, man. What a fun movie.
So every year I try to watch 104 films, and I'm going through my list right now, and there's not a lot of comedies on here, and not a lot from this year.
I don't think anybody cares to make good comedy movies right now.
Yeah,
it's not happening, at least. Nothing that is up my alley.
Oh, you
know
what I enjoyed?
Some that are...
Here's what I enjoyed. I enjoyed Blockers.
Oh, I knew you would enjoy Blockers. You're a John Cena guy.
John Cena vehicle Blockers. You know what I like?
The
I liked Blockers starring John Cena because he's not a dad, and he's aging out of becoming a dad with a peer. That's fun.
Yeah, that, part of my bitter comedian guy brain is like, fuck John Cena, like, encroaching on this territory. I was actually kind of pissed. I was like, I don't need to see some big buff man star in a comedy. Like, that's the only comedy this year that, like, got any traction, I feel like. And it didn't even star a comedian. It bummed me out.
It stars Ike Barinholtz.
I was jealous, and it bummed me out. Oh, he's great. And you know what? Like, Cena held it down. He was fine. I was just feeling bitter about that opportunity only being available once every so often, and it went to a big strong man who's already rich.
Or the argument is that movie is not made without the big strong man.
Potentially, I guess. I mean, I don't know how successful was it?
Moderately successful. Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know. Could you have had... I don't even know. I don't know who else would go in that role.
If it was 20 years ago, it would have been Hulk Hogan. If it was 30 years ago, it would have been Lou Ferrigno. If it was 10 years ago, it still could have been Cena. Like, it's meant for that.
None of those guys made good movies. No, there's no good Lou Ferrigno movie.
Fine, Schwarzenegger then. Like, they couldn't afford Schwarzenegger, so they'd go down. So who else was in Pumping Iron? Lou Ferrigno.
Okay. All right, so yeah, I guess I can see like the Schwarzenegger equivalent of like him in comedies, because he was in some that I think people liked.
Kindergarten Cop is legitimately funny.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but I certainly remember laughing when that little boy said, "Boys have a penis and girls have a vagina."
Yeah, gold.
That was a real trip. I liked that.
Really quick question.
So I don't know. Yeah.
Really quick question. If you title the next butt show, Boys Have a Penis, Girls Have a Vagina, do you think you'd get in trouble because it would sound bigoted in 2018?
I don't know. I don't think I would want to title a show that.
I think you should.
That's a terrible idea. It's already hard enough. Like, having a group called Butt.
Well, then why not just lean in, man? Why not embrace it?
And also you are getting into some territory of, like, it's like defining gender in your show title for no reason at all.
Yep.
Like, why are you doing that?
You don't even mention it. Like, none of the skits have anything to do with it.
No, yeah. That would be insane.
That's why I think
you should
do
that a classic bad step. It's a bad move. Classic bad move.
Could we talk about your friend's recent successes? Two of them?
Yeah. Who's success?
Well, your former co-hosts of the Late Live Show. Both of them are doing very well.
Yeah. Joe Quazala and CJ Toledano.
Mm-hmm.
Those boys are, they are ascending.
So CJ seems to be doing the thing he was meant to do, which is host a... Is that on Twitter?
Yeah, it's a basketball hangout chat show.
He hangs out with former NBA players and it has fun. It's like the best job in the world.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. I don't. Yeah. He only does it once a month, which it seems like just do more. I wish he would. I wish they could do more of them. But the House of Highlights.
That's such.
And it's just like him screwing around with. Like I watched the first episode of it, and it's just some dude doing magic tricks, and then they hang out with a basketball player. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds like a lie. Like, it sounds so great.
I know. It sounds fake. It sounds like, why would this exist? Some guy comes on and does, he calls himself a mentalist, and then it's like, I know what number you're thinking of or something. And then people freak out when he does it.
And then his fiance has a show on the NFL Network or something weird.
Yeah, no, they are going to, I think both of them are going to just be like, it's like dominating the world of sports through comedy. But
it's
like
great. It's
leaning
so great.
Even heavier into the sports side of it, you know?
So that's wonderful. I'm very happy for them. And you replaced CJ a long time ago on the Late Live Show. And Joe, they just announced a Comedy Central specials for 2019, and he's got a Comedy Central half hour.
That's so cool. He couldn't deserve it more. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like you can get so bitter about comedy and just be like, nobody good gets anything. And then I'm like, oh wait, that's cool. That's great.
Yeah,
somebody I like getting a thing.
It is weird that we're at this age where a lot of the people that you or I started with are like on the TV, and it's nice, and it's everyone deserves everything. It's really nice.
Yeah, no, that is a nice element of it. I think the trade off is like every day outside of my house, I have to look at like billboards for whatever thing I fucking hate, but.
Yeah.
But you know what? Every once in a while, somebody I like gets a cool thing, and that's pretty great.
So, once again, how often do you want to quit? Like, is it even quantifiable?
Oh, man. All the time.
No, but here's why I'm asking this. Is it even quantifiable to judge the worthiness of what you're doing?
There is no value in what I'm doing.
Oh, that's not true. Don't do that. Don't do that. There is value in it. Don't do that.
I don't think there is in what I'm doing specifically. If I'm not reaching anybody to get get out what I want to do, there's such a limited quantity, you know, the quantifiable version of value of what we're doing.
Sure.
If it were broadcast bigger on TV and more people saw it, it would increase to be like, oh, it's a nice diversion for some people, or it's a fun thing for some people. But it's not like, I don't think anybody has any thoughts about butt changing the world. You know what I mean?
What if they did?
Other ways to value things.
What if they had a big idea of butt changing the world?
I would say that's probably some kind of idiot would have that assessment. But I don't know. I guess what it is right now is I feel like comedy is not that valuable to the world at the moment, and I think that is just a recent thing, and things are changing. And
hold on.
I don't know.
Do you think that you've come to this conclusion because you've been doing it so long, or you're coming to this conclusion because you're in LA, or you've come to this conclusion because the state of the world right now?
I think a lot of it is the state of the world, but also just everything else coming together. Time-wise for me, where it's like, oh, I've seen enough and I know enough. But thinking in terms of like, okay, you want like, I grew up on The Daily Show and Colbert Report, and I loved those shows. And then if I look back, I'm like, did that help anything? And I can honestly think probably the opposite. I bet it was the opposite. It probably separated people farther apart and made it normal to just mock people. And it probably drove a wedge farther than anybody expected.
Right. Let's tie this up because we're getting way too sad. We're getting way too sad. I got to kill this. I got to tie this up. And I know how to do it. We started this episode with bros. We're going to end with bros. But before we get to bros, we're going to talk about what you just mentioned, Jon Stewart. Do you know what Jon Stewart is a big fan of?
What?
Professional wrestling.
Okay.
When SummerSlam used to be held in New York, he would occasionally make an appearance. So he was like the host. The first thing he did post Daily Show was he was the host of SummerSlam. Okay?
That's pretty cool. That's fun.
He got involved in the main event one of the matches between John Cena and Seth Rollins. and is literally part of a wrestling storyline now. Okay? He ended up feuding.
He's in there, yeah. He's canon.
There you go. He ended up feuding with Seth Rollins. Blah blah blah. It doesn't really matter. What really matters is last night he appeared at SmackDown because they're about to record their tribute for the troops thing, and Jon Stewart's going to host their tribute for the troops thing. Does this make sense so far?
Yeah, I'm on board.
Fantastic. Do you know what the WWE just did in Saudi Arabia?
I'm aware of their show for what's his name, the Prince.
The Prince.
Yeah.
The murderer.
Yeah, the Saudi Prince. Yeah.
So
the murdering Prince. Yes.
So we got Linda McMahon, who's part of the cabinet, of Donald Trump and the murder company, yeah. and now Jon Stewart's working again with the murder company, no qualms about it. So.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Well, okay.
Right? So that I find interesting, and I actually find that as a positive thing. It's like there's no heroes at all on any side, so that's kind of a good way to look at it. The bad way to look at it, our current champion is Daniel Bryan. He's the champion on SmackDown Live.
Wait. The good side of it is that there are no heroes?
There are no heroes.
Sounds like a bad.
This is a wonderful lesson I'm teaching everyone right now.
All right.
Daniel Bryan, hands down, my favorite champion right now in WWE. It's not difficult. He's wonderful. He's playing the role of a heel. Do you know what his promo last night included?
Like a moment of zen? What did he do? What did he put
he
in?
He yelled at the crowd and said that they're all fickle individuals and they're sheep because they drink from their plastic bottles and they eat their factory farm meat and they don't care about the environment. That is your bad guy on WWE program.
Man, so is that the same as just being like, the way that they do bad guys is just like to play against their crowd, which I don't know what their audience is these days, but when I was a kid, it was like stereotypical kind of like sweaty beer gut guy.
It is not stereotypical beer gut guys at all. Even when they would shoot the crowd, it was literally families of every color. They filmed last night in Austin, Texas. When the reaction shots for Daniel Bryan were shown, it was like a dad in a Finn Balor shirt, a wife in a Brie Bella shirt, and then the two kids in different WWE shirts. Literally every single race is represented at WWE shows. That's why they actually don't mention politics anymore, because it's not so clear-cut. That being said, on Monday night, they did do a 10-bell salute for George Bush.
Oh, yeah, former WWF champion George H.W. Bush.
George H.W. Bush actually did have connections to Texas wrestling when it was still the territories before WWE took over. Doesn't matter. Anyways, bringing us back to Pearl Jam.
Yeah, bring okay. it home.
Do you have any idea how Daniel Bryan is dressing right now?
No, I mean, I'm assuming it's just, you know, wrestling underpants.
You're going to go with wrestling underpants?
yeah, you know, like a little the little briefs.
Hey, you know what? Usually that'd be the right answer. Last night's date was December what? I'm sending you a photo right now. December 4th, thank you. I'm sending you a photo of how Daniel Bryan is currently dressing in WWE, and I want you to take a guess at what inspired his style, okay? All right, you see the photo he's currently holding?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, okay. He's got like a cardigan in a plaid shirt on.
That's right. He's wearing a flannel, and then over the flannel, a cardigan. He's summoning Kurt Cobain circa 93, and then he's summoning Kurt Cobain circa 94.
He looks like he's in the Meat Puppets.
He's the most Seattle possible.
He's awesome.
Do you know where Daniel Bryan is from?
No, I don't.
He's from Seattle.
Oh, okay, perfect. Then, yeah. All right, so he's, like, really living in his, you know, the hometown 90s era.
Which brings us back to Pearl Jam.
You did it. That was well done. That was well done. We're back there. He looks like a fan of Pearl Jam, that's for damn sure.
There's nothing new. There's nothing old. Everything repeats. Jon Stewart will work with the Saudis in a way. Everything's stupid. Nothing is serious. In the last 5 minutes, I received an email. Do you want to guess what the email was about?
I'm just going to throw it out there and say it's for some kind of cruise about the Insane Clown Posse.
You're not that close, but you're not that far off. On December 21st, the most lovable
okay.
Autobot, Bumblebee, will be headlining his own feature film in the 80s. We would love to invite you and your group to an advanced screening of the film on December 18th at AMC Empire. Bumblebee stars Haley Seinfeld, Justin Theroux, Angela Bassett, Kenneth Choi, and John Cena.
Yep. Hey, there's no escaping it, man. There just isn't. So you might as well just enjoy John Cena. He's the funniest man on the planet. John Cena's the funniest guy out there. There's nobody funnier than John Cena.
I want you to live a long and fruitful life, but if you happen to die right now, I would not be sad if those were your last words.
Yeah, no, I'll write that on the dang tombstone. I love John Cena, and then that's it. Don't write dates or anything else.